I come to you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. So about a month ago, I stopped by Trillian Elementary School to drop off a forgotten lunchbox. Maybe it was the place that I was standing in, the time of the day, or if it was that day when the planets were aligned just right, but I recall the situation that I hadn't thought of in probably decades. Now, when I was in school at Trillian Elementary School, back when the book of Genesis was being written, there was this child named Brandy, who was, for a time, the terror of the playground. Brandy was the best athlete in our grade, and thus many of us were very jealous of her and tried to exclude her from the games that we played. Now, because she would not tolerate being excluded, inevitably most playground time turned into her chasing us around in hopes of catching us, and I suppose physically forcing us to play with her. And for at least a week or so, I was her primary target. Our mutual sense of logic, justice, and community hadn't fully developed by the third grade, as you might expect. Now, one day, while desperately trying to dodge the frantic grasp of my nemesis, she left a long scratch down my cheek. And when I got home, my parents obviously saw it and asked me what had happened. And after explaining what had happened, rather than telling me how I should handle the situation, my parents simply gave me a copy of the Berenstain Bears book called No Girls Allowed. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the story, basically what happens in it is the sibling bears, brother and sister bear, play together a lot, and it's discovered that sister bear is a much better athlete and better at many things than brother bear and his friends. And while she could handle it a little, possibly a bit more gracefully, they decide to just exclude her from everything they do, and they make a club. And there's a sign on the club that says, No Girls Allowed. Basically, the story helps brother and sister bear navigate how to be more inclusive with one another, as well as the importance of humility, and it's basically the exact same situation that I was going through at school. But reading the book helped me change my approach with Brandy, and I picked her for my kickball team the next day. And from then on, we've been good friends, and I am totally comfortable to tell you that she is still the superior athlete to this day. Now, I'm sure that the children at Trillian Elementary School are nothing at all like we were back then and always play well with one another. Kidding. But it made me remember the importance of not only teaching, but also living the values described by Jesus in our gospel lesson from Luke today. And my parents could have very easily told me to just stay away from Brandy, or even to get back at her, or any number of hateful, negative reactions. But their values are based on the belief that love is stronger than hate, and they chose to teach me to always lead with love. That memory made me consider if I am, now a parent myself, teaching my children the values in today's gospel lesson. Am I modeling these values in my life? It made me wonder who I look up to, who I listen and pay attention to. Do our role models model those values? And also, does today's gospel represent not just our beliefs, but actually also our practices? Are you and I doing what Jesus says? If today's gospel is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, I wonder how that's going for us, because it's not always easy. Now, intellectually, I really like what Jesus says about loving our enemies. It is beautiful and inspiring. It's how I want to live and how I want our world to be. But what do you and what do I do when we meet someone who is seemingly unlovable? Someone that hurts us through an unforgivable act or really seemingly deserves our judgment and condemnation? Now, speaking only for me here, my actions have not always reflected the values described in this gospel lesson. And I suspect that I am not alone in that. Have you ever ended a relationship or refused to see or speak with someone because that person betrayed your confidence, spoke critically of your child or spouse, or didn't do what you thought should be done? from whom are we withholding forgiveness today? When have you or I condemned or made a judgment about someone else's life and then enjoyed sharing the dirt, the gossip, spilling the tea with another person? In what ways have we hit back with our thoughts, with our words, or even our fists? Have you ever wanted to get even and hurt someone because they hurt you or someone that you love? Those and a thousand others like them are the real life struggles that today's gospel holds before us. We've all been there. The world is complex, relationships are difficult, life is fragile, and that's why we need today's gospel, and that's why it matters. But it's not easy. Now, also, I don't think Jesus necessarily intends his words to be a how-to lesson. He's not exactly telling us in every single detail how to love, reconcile, forgive, be merciful, or offer generosity. I think that's our work to figure out, and with God's help, we can. Instead, I think his words are intended to stir the thoughts of his followers, to cause us to wake up at night thinking about it so that we might gain a wider perspective on what it means to love in a world where it's often hard to love. He's not telling us what to see. I think rather he's teaching us how to see. He's not giving us the answers. He's inviting us to ask different or better questions. So let's ask some questions. First, let us consider living in tension. I think to some degree we all live in that gap between today's gospel and our own patterns of thinking and behaving. We're always negotiating the difference between Jesus' teaching and the reality of our day-to-day life. Now, I'm not saying this side is like the good side and that's the bad side. I apologize. This happens to all of us. In what ways does it come up for you in your day-to-day life? What parts of today's gospel conflict and challenge your ideas, your words and your actions, the messages with which you grew up, the values that direct and drive your lives? In each of our lives, there are contradictions between who we say we are and who we show ourselves to be, between our beliefs and our actions, between our life in Christ and our life in the world. How are you holding that tension, and which side is winning? Let's think about our behavior next. We often think of faith as being about what we believe, but also what about our behavior? What if faith is also about how we live? What if it's about doing the gospel? What if our behavior is an indicator of what we believe and who or what really matters to us? Look at your actions and listen to your words in light of today's gospel. What do you see? What do you hear? Where is there alignment and where is there misalignment? What consequences are your words and your actions having on others? Is what you say and do congruent with today's gospel? What behaviors do we need to change or stop for the well-being of another or for ourselves? How might you better embody and align yourself with Jesus' words today? And do you really want to? Finally, let's consider pain. I think, frankly, most of us here, and Jesus certainly, know that the pain of the world is great. Everyone has a story of pain hidden behind the life she or he shows to the world. We can never really know what is going on in the life of another person. And maybe that's why Jesus tells us not to judge or condemn, but rather to be forgiving. Maybe that's why Jesus tells us to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, to bless those who curse us, and to pray for those who abuse us. Maybe that's why Jesus tells us not to seek vengeance, and rather to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Because we don't really know each other's stories. That not knowing is why we must continue to hold the tension, to pay attention to our behavior, and to choose to lead with love. Now, you and I may not be able to diminish or take away the pain of the world, but neither do we have to add to it. That's the bottom line for me in today's gospel. Are we adding to the pain of the world or to the pain of another? And if we are, what needs to change? How can we do things differently? How might we stop? Will we stop? Chances are there is something in each of our lives there's someone in each of our lives, in all of our lives, who is seemingly hanging on by a thread. It might be a family member, a friend, a colleague, a stranger, someone who is a fixture in our life, or someone who is just simply passing through. Sometimes we know that they are just hanging on by a thread, and other times we don't. They're in need of love, in need of mercy and forgiveness, perhaps a prayer or a blessing. They're in need of compassion, generosity, the benefit of the doubt, an open heart, and open hands. We all know what that's like because we've all probably been there too. So let's not be the scissors that cut that thread. Let's be the hand stretched out in love that holds and encourages them. Love is at the very heart of Scripture because God loves us, even when, especially when, we are really hard to love. So friends, let us be examples of God's love and light in the world. Let us choose to lead with love, even when and especially when it is hard to do so. If the measure of what we give is what we get back, then I pray that we all make the choice to give a very large, helping, heaping measure of love. Amen.